March this year will see the implementation of the increased annual earnings threshold determined by the Minister of Employment and Labour in the amount of 211,596 rand and 30 cents. Now, this represents an increase of 6,163 rand from the previous amount of 205,433 rand and 30 cents, which in fact has been in effect since the 1st of July 2014. Joining us in conversation to unpack the impacts of the national minimum wage is Director of Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Gillian Lum. Gillian, good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Benito. Good to be on the show. Thank you.
The new minimum wage set to come into effect on the 1st of March is, or has been calculated, determined by the minister to be 21.69 rand for every ordinary hour worked. The earnings threshold, I'm led to believe, impacts on the applications of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the LRA, as well as the Employment Equity Act. Are you able to expand upon that for us, Gillian?
Yes, certainly, Benita. Yeah, it's got significant repercussions for employers and employees because they are quite important provisions of the Act which don't then apply if you're earning over that threshold. So if we look first at the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, if you earn over the threshold of what will be the 211,596.50, those employees won't then have protections in relation to the regulation of their working hours. So, for example, if a person who earns over the threshold works overtime, they won't be entitled to additional payment for the overtime that they work. And similarly, if they work over a weekend or on a Sunday, they won't be entitled to those additional benefits that you get under the basic conditions. If we look at the Relations Act, employees who earn over the threshold aren't entitled to some of the protections in the Act which relate specifically to what are referred to as vulnerable categories of employees. One of the important provisions is the provision relating to employees of a labour broker or a temporary employment service. And under the provision of the Act, which applies only to employees who earn below that threshold, there are special protections where employees who provide a temporary service are the employees of the labour broker, but if they're not providing a temporary service, they're then deemed to be the employees of the client who makes use of the labour broker. So it's a very important protection for employees that they're safeguarded from the abuse which some employers made use of labour brokers and were abusing the system of labour brokers to avoid having to comply with the Labour Relations Act and the protections under the Act. Another provision is also relating to fixed-term employees. So if you earn under the threshold, you have special protections where an employer can't use fixed-term contracts and roll them over repeatedly. So if you have a fixed-term contract for longer than 3 months, you are then deemed to be indefinitely employed by the employer unless there's a justifiable reason. So important protection to safeguard it once again against abuse of fixed-term contracts of employment. And similarly, under the Employment Equity Act, if you're earning under that threshold, you have some important provisions that apply to you which don't apply if you're earning over the threshold. So if you're under the threshold and you have a dispute relating to unfair discrimination, you can refer a dispute, if it's not resolved at conciliation, you can refer that on to arbitration at the CCMA, which is a more cost-effective, typically, and generally a faster means to resolve disputes at the CCMA rather than the Labour Court. But if you earn over the threshold, you're obliged to refer those disputes to the Labour Court unless you reach agreement with your employer to refer that dispute to the CCMA. So those are really some of the key provisions that won't then apply to you if you are earning over the threshold.
And that threshold, Gillian, just to be clear, is that annual remuneration figure?
Yes, there's certain amounts that are excluded from that, Anita. So if your employer contributes to your pension fund, your medical aid, those contributions will be excluded. And then there are certain other amounts which are also not included, like if you receive a subsistence allowance or a travel allowance, those amounts won't be included. So it's important, obviously, for an employer to understand when you're determining whether someone's under or over the threshold, what's included and what's excluded from that annual remuneration.
Why were the protections required, particularly with the implications around the Labour Relations Act? Will the new amendments improve labour relations, do you think?
I think it's really an attempt. You know, those provisions were brought in relatively recently to protect vulnerable categories of employees, and it's going to increase the number of employees and who fall within that category, which is obviously important for employees to know that when they are earning under threshold, they do have a special safeguard to avoid potentially where employees have been abusing the use of labour vouchers and fixed term employees and avoid their having to comply with the legislation. So certainly positive from an employee's perspective, but there's now a large group of employees who fall within that vulnerable category.
Gillian Lomies, Director of Employment Practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer, and she joins us in conversation this evening on The Honest Truth. You're welcome to join us too on 35904. Gillian, the role of the minimum wage, is it to reduce inequality and various disparities within the labour market?
Yes, because that's certainly one of the objectives or a primary objective of the national minimum wage. So it was introduced through the National Minimum Wage Act, which is looking specifically, and in terms of its preamble, it recognizes that in South Africa we've got significant inequalities in society and that there are huge disparities in the income that employees earn within the labor market. So its objectives in introducing the National Minimum Wage include trying to reduce the exploitation of lower paid employees, improving the wages of the lowest paid employees, and also reducing wage inequalities. So it's striving to protect all what is referred to in the Act as workers, to whom the Act applies, other than persons who are employed by the National Defence Force, the National Intelligence Agency, and the South African Security Service. But otherwise, all employees are, or workers rather, are entitled to the protection under the Act and are entitled to the National Minimum Wage. There are some employees who are excluded from the National Minimum Wage to protect for everybody, and at the moment that's farm workers, domestic workers, and workers that are on expanded public works programs. So there are different amounts that apply and lesser amounts that apply to those categories of employees.
Okay, because I was going to ask if the National Minimum Wage is comprehensive in terms of its application to all sectors. You say not the case with domestic workers and farm workers.
So there is a wage that's set for them specifically, but it's lower than the National Minimum Wage. So at the moment, there is separately, so a National Minimum Wage for all workers, and then a separate lower wage for farm workers and a lower wage for domestic workers.
Is there a move to create some form of parity with all of the workers?
There is, and we'll see what's interesting from the 1st of March is in fact that farm workers will be equalised in the amount that they pay. So they'll get the national wage that all employees receive. The thinking behind that, as I understand it, was that it was regarded as a sector that was not as significantly affected by the lockdown, and so that those employers are in a better position to bring the farm workers' salaries up to the national minimum wage. The feeling was that in relation to domestic workers, the situation is different, and that certainly from many domestic workers, their employers are, in turn, they are employees of other employers who may have been hard hit by COVID pandemic and the lockdown, and that there was a concern that if domestic workers are brought up to the same level as the national minimum wage and increased to that extent, that it may result in job losses for them. So in line with that, domestic workers aren't on par with the national minimum wage, but there is, as I understand it, an intention to bring them on par in 2022.
Is there possibly increased protection for domestic workers?
So at this point, I mean, it's an intention to try and protect their employment in not increasing their salaries too high.
Okay.
So, you know, the desire to sort of balance, which is obviously what the Act and legislation is trying to do, is balance creating higher income for individuals to increase their buying power and in turn increase their capacity to boost the economy, but at the same time not wanting to increase the salaries to too great a level where it results in employees losing jobs. Alternatively, employers simply reducing the hours that employees work so that they don't have to increase their salaries, and that makes up the difference between the increase and the salaries that they were paid.
Gillian, what are the repercussions for employers who fail to comply with the new minimum wage?
The Act itself, the National Wage Act, doesn't specifically provide for what those repercussions are, but certainly there are various avenues that an employee can follow if they're not receiving the national minimum wage. So one of the important ones is in terms of the based as the base of the National Employment Act, if you're not receiving the national minimum wage, you have the ability to refer a dispute to the CCMA. So if you're earning under the annual earning threshold, you can refer a dispute to the CCMA. The CCMA can conciliate that dispute. If it's not resolved with conciliation, you can refer it on for arbitration. They can then make a binding award, which would require your employer to then pay you the national minimum wage if they're not doing that. There are also other avenues that you can follow. You can approach the Department of Employment and Labour. Their inspectors are empowered to go out and do an inspection. They can issue written undertakings or compliance orders. If an employer doesn't comply with those orders, it can get to the point where the CCMA can make that an arbitration award, in turn make it an order of court, which allows you then to send a sheriff off, basically to go and attach employers' assets to ensure that you are paid the amount you should be paid. And finally, there are also penalties. So in terms of basic conditions of employment act, if you don't pay the national minimum wage, you can be fined. In the first instance, it's double the amount that you should be paying, the underpayment that you're making as the employer, or double the employee's monthly wage, whichever is the bigger of those amounts. And then those fines increase on a second or further non-compliance with the legislation.
Gillian Lum, Director of Employment Practice at Cliff Dicker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time, Gillian. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
The